You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Worth Harley Davidson North, I-29 in Tiffany Springs. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Your teams, your town, your program.
Great talented team in Xavier. They can score the ball. They bring back probably 49 points in four starters, and that's a lot of points. And guys that played a lot of minutes in big games. So, and we played them well here, and we understand they know that as well.
Garoppolo is in the gun from his own 23. Shotgun snap is high. Four-man rush. He's hit. Brought down. Ball is loose. Picked up by Clowney at the 10. Entourage to the 5. Runs into the end zone. Touchdown, Seattle. Drops back on second and 18. Crumbling pocket. Ball knocked away. It's loose. Seattle got it.
Look who knocked it out. 9-0 from Seattle. Jadeveon Clowney once again.
It was a really good rush tonight. I thought Jadeveon Clowney was fantastic tonight. Just when he was close, he was causing problems. And he scored again.
Tonight was our night out front. We had a good night. We did what we were supposed to do, come and put a lot of pressure on the quarterback and try to make him throw some bad balls and force some turnovers. We did that tonight.
And now, wondering if the Chiefs would ever consider trading for a Seahawks pass rusher, Seren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you for joining us here on this. It looks pretty outside, but it is another cold one here in Kansas City. So if you are out and about, make sure you keep warm, or make sure you get to our friends at E. Edwards Workwear and get geared up with the Carhartt cold weather gear. They got you covered like no one else. All four locations, Grandview, Olathe, down on the Boulevard, and the newest location in Independence on Nolan Road, just north of I-70, about a mile north of I-70 on Nolan Road. It's E. Edwards Workwear. It is the program. Tuesday edition brought to you by our friends at Worth Harley Davidson North. Lot to get to today. First of all, I will tell you our 21st annual Sports Radio 810 WHB food drive is ready to rock and roll. So start stocking up, because we will be out broadcasting live on Thursday here in the program, as we will be at Coach's. So we'd love to see you at Coach's.
Yes.
Come on by on 135th Street. Thank you to our friends at Coach's that have worked with us for so long on this great, great project. Donations go directly to those in need through the Bishop Sullivan Center and Mission Southside, not just sitting on a shelf waiting and maybe getting used years from now. They will go right to work at Bishop Sullivan Center and Mission Southside. You can drop off at a number of different locations. Donations are going to be accepted at all Kansas City area Aldi grocery stores Thursday through Sunday. So make plans for that. Just look for the 810 bins. The Zone will be live at Aldi and Olathe on 119th from 10 to 2. What says 119th? Is it 119th?
I think that's 135th.
Nope, different one.
Those are 119th?
Yeah, they're actually going to be at 119th this year. They got the official word.
That's
okay,
yeah,
just want to make sure. A great opportunity for you to go say hi to the guys at The Zone. We'll be live, as I said, at Coach's on 135th Street. There'll be 810 food specials for you to enjoy. And you can make your donation as well by going to 810WHB.com/food drive. That's two Ds. Food drive. To make a donation online, make a $20 donation, and you'll automatically be entered to win a great prize, like an autographed Patrick Mahomes photo.
I've heard of him.
Would you like to win an autographed Patrick Mahomes photo? Those are quite valuable, by the way. Quite valuable. It is a great, great opportunity for you to give back, and the more you donate, the more entries you get to win. And we've got a lot of other prizes, but just giving you an example, an autographed Patrick Mahomes photo.
The city always impresses me at this time of year, and for this event in particular. But the flip side of that is you've set the bar high, Casey. You have to meet it again.
Yes.
Come out and do what you do best, what you do better than any city in the nation, and give.
So our 810 Food Drive is coming up, and we look forward to seeing everybody out and about. The Zone at Aldi's on 119th. They will be there in Olathe, and we will be at Coach's at 135th and roughly Antioch.
Mm-hmm.
It's the closest major cross street right there.
Yeah.
The beautiful Coach's Bar and Grill. So come on out, bring your donations, and we'll have more goodies to tell you about when we get on site. But we are looking forward to seeing everybody out and about Coming up this Thursday, as we will be at Coaches. And it is the 21st annual. So remember, you can give. I know everybody's already starting to get super busy around the holidays as we're heading into it. Thanksgiving's a lot closer than you may realize. But if you want to make it super easy, just click right now. Get yourself entered. Take a shot at winning the autographed Patrick Mahomes photo, as that's just one of many things we're going to be giving away. Go to 810whb.com/food drive. And make your donation right now. We'd love to get the ball up and running and get everybody going. And, you know, let's get a fat number on the board before we ever get to Coaches on Thursday. And then we will have a great time there and celebrate. Come by, have a Corona premiere or two, and enjoy the celebration.
Maybe some buffalo chicken dip.
Maybe. Could be.
Cheeseburger activity.
Could be.
It's my go-to when I go to Coaches, which is frequently.
Yes. So look forward to seeing everybody coming up on Thursday at Coaches. We have a lot to get to beyond just the great work that we hope everyone will help us do, giving back to the people in our own community right here. We will talk some sports. We're going to talk to Tim Grunhard in the 3 o'clock hour about the Kansas City Chiefs, get his thoughts on the loss. We'll unleash Danny Klinkskill in the city. We call it Danny Unleashed. He'll be with us in the 4 o'clock hour. And Gary Parrish with us as we begin to talk college basketball each and every week. Perfect handshake between Major League Baseball and college basketball. I think there's the championship game, and this has kind of changed with baseball opening up, but the Tuesday after the championship game is the only time that baseball and college basketball really overlap.
Yeah.
Now, I don't tell me about playing board A's. The real games. The
actual
first real game
basketball.
Was what, Tuesday last week, right?
Yeah.
So? And we talked to Gary at the end of last week, but.
Yeah, exhibitions do not count.
No. So it's the perfect marriage Tuesday. Tuesdays with Gary. Tuesdays with Gary.
I like that.
Begins tonight.
Tuesdays with Gary.
Gary Parrish. You know, when you're like the best in the business at breaking down the college basketball and then the biggest story in college basketball is happening in your backyard, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Good.
In some ways it'd be good, but then also like you're expected to be boots on the ground.
Right.
You don't get to cover it from afar and rely on intel from connections. You're expected to get your butt over to Memphis University and ask some questions. I don't know. We'll see. I'll bet Gary will give us quite some insight on what's going on with the number one recruit in this year's class, the 2019 class. We'll also talk about a number 19, number 20, number 25, depending upon which service you look at. Recruit and Bryce
Thompson?
Bryce Thompson committing to the Kansas Jayhawks today. They got good news. Well, there goes that pen. They got good news today as they landed a recruit.
Yeah.
Is he locked solid, going to be there no matter what happens from the NCAA? I don't know. We'll talk about that with Gary Parrish a little bit later on as well. Monday Night Football was had last night. We'll begin there. Jadeveon Clowney had a big, big game. Jadeveon Clowney, what is he? What is? I mean, there's no doubt that Jadeveon Clowney, Dee Ford, Frank Clark, it's a race. We're marking it. Those are all players that were available in this offseason. The Chiefs got Frank Clark. They sent away Dee Ford, and they seemingly could have gotten into the middle of a deal for Jadeveon Clowney, who, by the way, was traded from the Houston Texans to the Seattle Seahawks, somewhat of a cap dump out of the Texans. They traded Jadeveon Clowney to the Seahawks for a third-round pick. Pass rusher Barcavius Mingo and DN outside linebacker type Jacob Martin. Both of them are listed as backups on the Texans depth chart. So this, to me, was still somewhat kind of cap move. Jadeveon Clowney made his presence felt in a big, big way last night. And listen, I'm not ready to wave a checkered flag on you know this race to carry the racing vernacular all the way. Dee Ford on the year, I think we need to keep in mind while we see Dee Ford make a sack and make ESPN and hit the highlights for ESPN. D4 does not have 16 sacks right now. All right, let's be clear. He has 5.5. You know.
Which is on pace for what?
Well.
9?
I want to see he's played. Yeah, he's played in, he played in all 9 games. So he's on pace for 9.5.
Yeah.
You know? Solid season.
Solid season.
But there's but sometimes it gets told like, oh, D Ford's been a wrecking crew. I mean he's
the presence
there.
Of Nick Bosa certainly helps. I mean, when you're on a, when you're one of those guys, it's like the other guy.
Chris Jones is there.
Yeah.
For opposite Frank Clark.
Yep.
Full disclosure, that's Jones true. Has missed some time. Clark has missed some time. By the way, if you're not familiar with what Frank Clark has at this point in the season, Frank Clark has 4 sacks in 8 games. So he is slightly behind the pace of D Ford. And Jadeveon Clowney played a great game last night and made his presence felt in a lot of ways. He's never been the giant sack guy that people thought he would be when he came out of South Carolina and was the number 1 overall pick. No sacks his rookie year. He only played in 4 games. 4.5, 6, 9.5, 9 last year, this year, 3. He has 3 sacks in 10 games. So he is on pace to pick up 5 sacks. But it's more than just sacks, right?
This last night's game showed with the other ancillary numbers that he had, 5 quarterback hits. I mean, if you watched that game, you would think he almost single-handedly destroyed the 49ers front.
He had 5 last night. He has 12 for the year.
Yeah.
He has 5 tackles for loss. Give you an idea, quarterback hits for Frank Clark, 5. Tackles for loss, 6.
Yeah.
D Ford, quarterback hits. And, of course, my D Ford page went away, but I will find it quickly. The point of this is that the – you know, we see the highlights and we see last night, and it's very easy to look at last night and say, oh, okay, well, you know, monster game here for Jadeveon Clowney. He's having a monster season. He's not. He's a good football player. Last night, he wreaked a lot of havoc, but there are more than sacks, and I think that's one of the things we need to keep in mind when evaluating what's going on. Quarterback hits for D Ford, 5. Tackles for loss, 4. To me, the lesson that we come away from here is hold your water. There's always another deal. You can look at it one of two ways. The Chiefs are aggressive. They find their guy. They let nothing stand in their way. Sammy Watkins, we want a wideout. I believe they felt like they needed insurance. We've got to make a move to get a wideout for insurance against what we see as a combustible situation with Tyreek Hill bringing his mother of his children back into the mix. Whatever it takes, 3 years, $48 million. They overpaid. We don't see D Ford stopping anybody against the run. We're bad against the run. We got to get better against the run. Frank Clark is a better all-around player. He's our number one DN. Clowney, D Ford, we're moving to the 4-3. You know, we don't see D Ford as a 4-3 DN. He played at about 230 pounds last year. He is kind of a specialty guy for the 49ers and how they do things. They saw their guy. Didn't matter what the price was, first and a second round draft pick, and doled out a $100 million contract. Jadeveon Clowney was still there. And I think that's where you've got to get. I think the Chiefs, you know, do you need more talent on defense than offense? Yes or no? Like, let's start there.
Not if you have the quarterback.
As a rule of thumb.
As a rule of thumb?
I'd say yes, because the quarterback is paramount, and there are only a handful of Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady's.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, and so I think from that standpoint, if you say, okay, let's review what Brett Veach, who that's who they always put it at the feet of, is Brett Veach, what Brett Veach and Andy Reid secondarily or primarily, if you want to look at it that way, what they did, you know, then they said, okay, listen, we'll make it work on offense. We've already got the playmakers. And if you can say like, well, yeah, they've prioritized playmakers. Did they really? I mean, they've re-signed them once they found them. But Travis Kelce was a third-round pick, and Tyreek Hill was a fifth-round pick. They certainly did when they went out and spent the money on Sammy Watkins. When they've found them, they pay them. They're on a second contract with Travis Kelce. They're on a second contract now with Tyreek Hill. They've certainly been willing to do it. I think first and foremost, you got to sit back and say, what is our philosophy? Now, I'm of the opinion everyone's replaceable in the NFL except the quarterback. That's on both sides of the ball. I'm certainly of that opinion if you've got a brilliant coordinator. The Chiefs have a brilliant offensive coordinator. We have watched some massive offensive statistics been put up by the Chiefs, even some really good offensive statistics put up by the Chiefs when Alex Smith was the quarterback. And he was throwing to guys like Jason Avant and Donnie Avery and Dwayne Bowe. I mean, that was not dynamic offensive talent.
No.
That he had. That first year, Travis Kelce was out with microfracture surgery when they lost to the Colts. And so they were able to put together a quality offense. Defensively, they haven't had the mind that could go out and be Bill Belichick. The New England Patriots walked on their second best, let's say. Either their first or second. Either co-one or second best. I would say second best based on how they always prioritize a cornerback. And Stephon Gilmore is their number one defensive player. Second was Trey Flowers, and they walked on him. And they're better. They're not as much better as it looks like because of the stats, because they've played turds. At the very least, they're as good defensively as they were last year.
Yes.
And I would say it's safe to assume that they are significantly better. Maybe not as historically good as it looks. Let's see what those defensive numbers are after they've played some more real opponents, after having now tackled the Baltimore Ravens. Let's see what happens when they play the Chiefs and what kind of numbers the Chiefs are able to put up on them. But I do think that when we watched Jadeveon Clowney, the lesson that was there is there's another guy. There's another guy. And I'll go back to what Eric Eager said. And if you didn't hear Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus on with us, catch the podcast. He was on in hour number two. You can find that at 810WHB.com or on the podcast. Eric Eager, you know, we discussed the fact that, listen, this defense was better when it didn't have Chris Jones and Frank Clark. I don't think they're more talented, but I think they're better against the run. And I think being good against the run is what's allowed them to get to their blitz packages. And I believe that Steve Spagnuolo has proven that he can coordinate coverage and he can coordinate a blitz scheme. So if they can take care of the run, then the rest will fall in place. I think it's undeniable. They don't stop the run real well when Chris Jones is on the field. And we all love Chris Jones. I love Chris Jones. I'd love to see Chris Jones play his entire career here. But he is a liability in the run game. A lot of people have said it. And there's no doubt about it that they get steamrolled when he is out there, particularly at defensive tackle. They get steamrolled. And I think it's time for the Chiefs to make some difficult decisions. It's time to start lining people up in the best spot. And I think the Chiefs have been great since Andy Reid came to town and playing Jags and creating value on Jags and then watching them walk in free agency and picking up draft pick compensation for it. Chris Jones is by no means a Jag. And as Eric Eager said, interior pass rushers are very valuable. But if you can't get to the down and distance it takes to really unleash that, it's a problem. It's time for Chris Jones to play D-end. In this 4-3, he needs to play defensive end. Ogba has gone down. Okafor is battling an injury. Clark and Jones need to be on the outside. Two fatties and a blitz works. And Colin Saunders needs to play more than 13 snaps. And Derek Nnadi needs to play more than the 28 or 29 that he played. Those two guys need to anchor the point of attack at the D-tackle spot. If you get to a third and 14 and you want to bring Chris Jones on the inside, then so be it. But this defense needs to take care of the run. And any thought that it was just, okay, it's about everybody else coming together. No, it seems it's about getting Chris Jones out of the way and getting guys that will anchor the point of attack. That needs to happen for this football team. Watching Jadeveon Clowney make a difference. Listen, if Chris Jones is that difference maker along with Frank Clark, then you're fine because you had the pieces to replace them. You moved Chris Jones and you replaced him with Colin Saunders. And Derek Nnadi hopefully has taken a step forward. But they got back to playing the kind of defense they were playing when they were getting drummed. And what was the obvious change? So, look, I mentioned with Eric Eager, You know, are you playing Chris Jones there in an effort to try to maintain his value so you can hopefully get a first and a second round pick when you deal him this offseason after putting the franchise tag on him? Okay, potentially at the cost of winning. At some point, you got to line up and play and win. I think this offseason right now is looking like an exercise in patience. Frank Clark got a five-year, $104 million deal. Dee Ford got a, for whatever reason, this overlapping there, has got a five-year, $85.5 million deal. And Jadeveon Clowney is still playing on the franchise tag. He's yet to sign. And we'll see what that deal ends up being. But it's you're in the get it right business. You're supposed to get it right.
And that's the second game in 3 weeks where he's been on the quarterback. He had four quarterback hits 2 weeks ago. He mentioned he only had 12 on the year. He said nine the last 3 weeks to go with, I think, 14 tackles.
So, he's a good player. He seems to be motivated. He seems to be getting the hang of what they want him to do in Seattle. And he's a guy that was available. This isn't to say the Chiefs don't know what they're doing. And there is something to be said for being aggressive, finding your guy and going and getting him. You just need to be right. You need to be right more often than you're wrong. And I do think Frank Clark needs to be healthy. And when you get the pinched nerve in the neck, when that comes around, and if it's true that he's been battling that all year, then maybe we haven't seen the real 100% Frank Clark. He's not going anywhere. If he's getting healthier, we've got a chance to see it here over the stretch run of this year. And he's not going anywhere next year either, I can tell you that. So maybe it'll take to the offseason before you see the full-on 100% Frank Clark. I don't know. Maybe it's something that's being leaked out there to cover for a guy who's not living up to what was a massive cost in resources to bring him into the organization. We'll see. Time will tell. 913-3810-810. Grab a phone line if you like. 913-3810-810. We'll talk some Mizzou basketball. They've got Xavier tonight. I mentioned Bryce Thompson signing with the Kansas Jayhawks. Those are a couple of big stories that are out there looming. And, of course, the Chiefs getting ready for Monday Night Football this next week against the Chargers down in Mexico. Phone lines are open. Chiefs, Royals, Sporting, K-State, Missouri, KU. Always a topic here in the program. 913-3810-810.
The Program with Soren Petro. Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're in the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Busy, busy times now leading up to the holidays. We hope that you will think of those less fortunate than you. Our A10 Food Drive, 21st annual going on this week. We'll see you Thursday here in the program over at Coaches. Tomorrow, Hen House. Thursday, Coaches. And Friday, Gomers.
Yep.
For Jim Beam. Mm-hmm. The Jim Beam World Tour continues, and I'll be making a purchase.
Do you remark that this is the last time you'll watch Jed run the show?
It is.
In person?
Till December 9th. A combination of holiday vacation for each of us, coupled with a busy schedule of being out and about.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you, tomorrow can come none too soon.
Trust me, for either of us, man.
It's like, who's that the biggest plus for?
Yep. The Holiday World Tour begins tomorrow.
It does.
Little Hen House action. We head out and about. Other stops. We'll be hitting CBD American Shaman. Robert Brogdon. We've got a number of different spots coming up here throughout. We're not here much the rest of the year, the rest of the calendar year. So hopefully we'll get a chance to press your palm and say hello wherever you are. Talking some Chiefs football to get things started. 913-3810-810, the phone number. Jadeveon Clowney putting on a big show. We'll get to your phone calls here in a second. First, let's talk to our man, Todd Lebo.
Speaking of putting on a big show.
You talk about a
Todd Lebo.
He is the big show.
Yes.
Todd, how are you? Where are you? What's going on?
Well, if you just follow the Sports Radio 810 Twitter feed, the video just came up of me doing my vertical leap at the University of Kansas Health System Sports Performance Center at 125th and Antioch. Do you care to guess what my vertical leap is, fellows?
4 inches.
26, 28. It's, well, the arm length, 28 inches.
15 and a half. So right between exactly where you guys thought I was. We're having fun out here. It's an open house
for
the University of Kansas
Health
System,
Todd.
Performance Center. Well, no, for other people it could be fun. I did none pull-ups, so I knew I was going to do that. So the reason we did that is you can come out here and sign up. They've got all kinds of great adult fitness classes here and performance classes for, like, middle school or high school athletes. You can come out here and do training in the afternoons and the evenings. This is an open house. If you've never seen where – a facility like this, it's very cool. It's 125th and Antioch, basically, where that post office is. Just keep coming east on Antioch, and it kind of dead ends down here, and you'll see where this wonderful facility is with all this great equipment. And they do, like I said, adult fitness classes and performance classes for your high school athletes. If you beat my pull-up number or you can beat my vertical, you're automatically entered to win free classes for the rest of the year, and they've got 30% discounts going on right now. So that's the athletic side of this. The other side is we have Chiefs and Raiders tickets. That's cool enough. You don't have to be able to jump or do anything to do that. Sign up to win Chiefs Raiders tickets, and we've also got a really cool autographed football from a Chiefs fantasy camp that has lots of great signatures on it. You can just sign up, and we're going to be giving that away as well. So it's a fun day. It's their open house out here. It's a University of Kansas Health System Performance Center at 125th and Antioch, basically, and I can still not do a pull-up, but I could probably jump higher than I did. That was my first jump, and I just set the number and let it sit there.
All right, I'm impressed. What was it? What was the vert again?
15.5. Now, there's a way to cheat this system because it's not the one where you'd reach up and jump and touch. They do it. It's how long you're off the pad, and it knows how high you went up. And I didn't try to bend my legs and cheat it or anything. I did it real. You know, just 15.5. I could maybe do more. We'll see. I'll let you know. I'll do it again. I'll let you know how much I did better next time.
All right. I look forward to that. Todd, thank you. Keep going, and then let us know how much more of an athlete you become a little bit later on.
It's probably going to take me a few more sessions to get much better, but it is a great facility if you're looking for a place for your kids to work out or an adult, you know, fitness classes or personal training as well. They do it all out here.
Todd Lebo at the University of Kansas Health System Performance Center. It is a great spot, 125th in Antioch. Go get signed up. You can win some Chiefs and Raiders tickets and find out if you're a better athlete than Todd.
You know, it's a good thing they didn't send me out there. They'd be giving away free stuff all day.
Yes, they would. 913-810-810. Let's go to the phones. We'll talk to Dan. He's waiting patiently from up in Des Moines. Dan, how are you, buddy?
Pretty good. Thanks for taking my call, Seren. I just want to say I absolutely love your show.
Thank you, my friend.
I don't get to call in much. I'm obviously not really in the range for the most part. But I saw this and I had to call in on it. So
okay.
I was looking at Football Outsiders drive stats, and one thing I noticed last year on trips in the red zone, the Chiefs averaged basically 5.7 points per trip, which was number one in the league. This year, they're averaging like 4.5, which is 21st in the league. And basically, they're not scoring touchdowns. They scored touchdowns on 45% of their trips in the red zone, which is 27th in the league, which is shocking to me for, you know, a team with the weapons we have. And if you look too at, I was just looking at where the touchdowns were coming from last year.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we all know Mahomes had 50 touchdowns, so he had 35 touchdowns that came from in the red zone. So far this year, there's only 7 touchdowns that came from in the red zone.
The obvious, two obvious points that need to be made, just because if I were driving in my car, I would be screaming these 2 points listening to you, is one, Mahomes has missed almost 3 full games. Two, 14 touchdowns in, what, 11 games came from Kareem Hunt?
Sure. Yeah, right. And that's totally fair. But still, I know that some of those were reception touchdowns as well, but still – the fact that it was
7 of his 14 were receiving.
Okay. All right. And that's, but some of those were not in the red zone either, though.
Really? How many? I'll bet you at least five, at least 10 of those 14 touchdowns. I'd have to go back and look. But just off the top of my head,
sure.
Kareem Hunt was striking
from
40.
Like almost all the rushing. Almost all the rushing ones were in there. I'm not saying anything like, you know, that there's not reasons for, we're missing Demetrius Harris too. I mean, come on.
Well, I mean, but I mean, listen, the next obvious one is no left tackle the entire season. No Tyreek Hill for the first, how many games? Three, four.
Mm-hmm.
No left guard for four or five games now. No right guard for two games. Right tackle went down for a little bit. I think three snaps, so I'm not going to bring up too much on that one. But, you know, the amount of injuries coupled with the change at the running back position, coupled I don't know, whatever the hell else. What was the other one I said?
Mahomes missing time.
And Mahomes, yes, which is injuries. I'm sorry, that's why it was CA. Mahomes missing time. Those are big contributors, but there's also just this is what happens the next year. Like, they adjust to what you're doing. And so, like, to put the bar at, you know, and I'm not saying you're doing this, Dan, but if anybody is, if it's failure because you don't meet last year's standards, then get out of the football business, because you can't be the third most prolific offense and then turn around and go, okay, we expect a 20% improvement, a 10% improvement. In fact, you should build your football team expecting a regression, because in all likelihood, a lot of what also happened was, and what did Mahomes have? 10 touchdowns in the first two games?
Yeah.
Like, nobody knew what the hell they were dealing with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
And so the defenses for the first four games, and I'd have to go back and dig further into it, like, how many of those numbers that you're putting together on the red zone came in the first four games before defenses went, okay, this kid's real? I mean, early on, the Steelers and the Chargers were like, prove it, kid. And he did.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started changing things around. So I hear what you're saying. No, they're not as good, for a lot of different reasons, and I think that's to be expected, and it's why you invested so heavily in changes on the defensive side. Now, the question becomes, are the three games where they played pretty well against the Broncos, Packers, and Vikings on defense, are those the anomaly, and that those were coincidental, bad scheming, good fortune overall for the Chiefs defense, or was that the sign of progress in this past week? Was a step back. And listen, I expect Steve Spagnuolo on Friday to be honest. You know, he talked about that he thought his linebacker moves against the Packers in the second half, he blew it. Because I made some adjustments and it didn't work and I wish I hadn't done it. And I think you may see him come to the podium and say, we changed some things up front in our front seven, to which I'd say Chris Jones in the middle.
Yeah.
And it didn't work and I wish I had done it a different way. And that's just real and honest. And I'm optimistic that they will make those changes, and we'll see them play more like they did the last three games. But offensively, it's not impossible to think they could have gotten better, but it was so amazingly unlikely. These are the regressions you had to expect out of this offense.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. I'm not trying to say that they shouldn't have regressed. I mean, I'll admit, like, it's ridiculous what they did last year. But I guess I was just surprised to see it be like 27th. I mean, that's pretty far down in terms of touchdowns per red zone. I get it's like, I don't know, I think they've had something like, you know, 30-some-odd red zone. You know, so it's like two or three touchdowns here or there, you know, would probably move them up quite a bit in that. But it's still surprising that they're that far down.
I won't argue that point. That's surprising. I think they should still be one of the best offenses in any category you want to pick. But at the end of the day, every category is about getting to being tops in points. They were number one last year. They regressed all the way to number five this year.
Agreed. Yeah. And agreed. And it's, you know, I mean, you know, Butker's making a lot of field goals and that kind of thing. I'm not really criticizing from this perspective. I guess what I'm wondering is, I mean, in your eyes, do you think that's something that we should expect by the end of the season is not 27? I mean, even if
yes,
they scored just like two, three more touchdowns, they'd probably win two more games, right? I mean, depending on the timing and whatnot. But, I mean, You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would expect that they would be significantly higher than 27. And Dan, it's a great point. And that, by the way, Football Outsiders does a great job. And thank you for the call, Dan. Pro Football Focus, all of the different advanced numbers. They do a great job of measuring it. At the end of the day, all the numbers are to be used to score more points than your opponent. This defense needed to give up less points. A good way to start doing that is giving up less yards. The offense needs to try to maintain what they were. They're still averaging 28.4 points per game. The defense is allergic to turnovers. The one takeaway they got last week was erroneously called. I mean, that's the next step. Take away, you know, Chris Jones did knock the ball out of the quarterback's hands. That's real. And if they can pressure the quarterback, they'll create turnovers. That's the where most turnovers occur, is pressuring the quarterback.
Even without a sack.
Yeah. I mean, whether you're just forcing the throw out early. And so I think there is reason to believe that that will get better. But, yeah, offensively, do they need to get better in the red zone? Sure. I mean, you know, you're measuring, again, 10 games against 16. But we're far enough in that number should be better. You know, I'd have to dig deeper. Okay, are they striking from 21 yards out, where there were a lot of 19s and 18s last year? That kind of fattened that statistic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I remember a lot of people grinding about, when they get down inside the five, they can't punch it in. You got to be able to just punch it in. Particularly late in the year, once Kareem Hunt wasn't there, that was a popular theme.
Yes.
And that challenge, I think, still remains.
That's where he was spectacular, was inside the 10 particularly.
No, I mean, he blows up tackles.
Yes.
And they don't have a guy who blows up tackles on this roster right now.
No.
913-3810-810. Let's get John in here. You're in the program. John, what's going on, brother?
Hey, guys. Great show. Thanks for taking my phone call. Appreciate it. You know, after Sunday's disaster, there were a lot of things for Chiefs fans to be angry about. For me, the one thing that oddly irritated me the most was this new news about Frank Clark and this mythical pinched nerve he has in his neck that's caused him problems all year. I'm not sure if I believe that. I don't know if you guys believe that, but Sren, you said it best when you say that, you know, you're in the get-it-right business.
Yep.
And this guy was supposed to be a poor man's Khalil Mack. He was supposed to be a game wrecker. He was supposed to be the new guy on our defense. They gave up a first-round pick, a second-round pick, $70 million guaranteed they gave this guy?
Pretty much, yeah.
It's been a flop. I'm sorry to say it, but it's been a disaster. You know, he's had a few plays here or there, but this guy was supposed to be 10, 15 sacks and a game wrecker.
Well, let's be clear. He's never had 15 sacks in his career. I think those are the expectations that came with giving up a first and a second-round pick and $100 million and $62.3 million in guaranteed money. To your point, to whom much is given, much is expected. And the returns have not been there. I tried to temper people. You know, I said, listen, the Pro Football Focus grades were not overwhelming for him with the Seahawks. Like, now, I always say that's not everything, right? That's not the whole deal. I think he has the potential to be significantly better if they stop the run. I think he's a very good run defender. As a defensive end, or good at least. I don't know. I'd have to look at some of the numbers. But eye test says he pushes the running back out further. He extends and makes them go wider. He sets the edge. He forces them to cut in. He does his job significantly better than Dee Ford as a run defender. They got better in that category. Why haven't they been better just because of that? Well, to me, because it's time to admit Chris Jones is not good against the run.
I agree.
And I think, you know, you will see more sacks when you get, instead of third and, you know, second and two, you get second and 11. You get second and eight. You get third, instead of third and two, you get third and seven. I mean, it's, you know, right now, particularly this game, I mean, we looked up in the fourth quarter and Tannehill had thrown the ball like 13 freaking times. It's like, what the hell is going on? I couldn't believe it. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And it's because they were running right over him. And so you can't get sacks if the quarterback doesn't drop back. So listen, your point's valid. You know, forget about picking on Frank Clark, the guy. To this point, the trade and signing of Frank Clark is underwhelming. And I would say you know, less than spectacular, and I think it would be fair to say, I think bust or disaster is too far. I think to say disappointment, yes. Not good enough, yes. All accurate. All accurate. But I think it can look better and be better if the rest of the defense does its job better. That's what I think we wait on. John, thank you for the call. 913-3810-810. More of your calls next here on the program.
The Program with Soren Petro. Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
We're talking Chiefs football. We'll do more of it with Tim Grunhardt coming up in our next hour. 913-3810-810. Soren Petro with you. Thanks for joining us. Okay. I was like, what is it? It's fourth quarter? Oh, no. Never mind.
Wow.
My bad. Like, what the hell? I don't. I got things to get to. You go on home. We'll find somebody to do your gig. I don't know who it would be off the top of my head, but
maybe dark for a while.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. 913-3810-810. Marcus, you're in the program. Thanks for being patient, buddy. What's on your mind? Hello, Marcus. I'll give Marcus a little hold treatment, see if he pops back on. Let's talk to Scott. You're in the program, Scott. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, sir. I appreciate it.
You bet.
My whole problem with this, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, as you guys were just talking about it, but it's ultimately, to me, it's just Brett Veach.
Like, okay.
Ultimately, what I feel like he's doing is he's trading for bits and pieces like a little kid, just waiting for any toy to come out. And instead of waiting for some grade A beef, we go and get grade B beef with Frank Clark. I don't know if anybody remembers what Jadeveon Clowney went for to the Seahawks. I mean, we're talking...
Yeah, we do. We covered that actually in the first segment.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. That's all right, brother. You're thinking the same way we were thinking. He went for a third round pick, Barcavius Mingo, and then John Taylor. I looked the guy up. They're both Mingo and it's Taylor.
Isn't it Taylor? John Taylor Jackson.
It was John Taylor.
It was dude.
Yeah,
player.
Dude Taylor.
Your name here.
No, Jacob Martin. That's what it was.
Exactly.
Who is listed as a backup.
The fact that you've mentioned his name four times
and didn't get it right.
That tells you something.
Yeah, exactly. But that was my opening salvo, that the Chiefs, look, let's make this about Brett Veach, right? That's what it says on the screen next to your name, Scott. Let's evaluate him. First off, let me say that I believe that his draft eye is good. I said all along on his first draft, every GM's first draft sucks. I don't know why. It always does. Belichick's first draft in New England sucked, except for one guy, Tom Brady. Rest of it's crap. For whatever reason, that's the way it works. But Mecole Hardman is no joke. Now, stop catching the ball at the two. He's got a lot to learn, all that, but he's a weapon. Juan Thornhill is outstanding. Juan Thornhill is already playing significantly better as a rookie than Eric Berry did. Okay, Colin Saunders has been at the point. It's not a coincidence that they played really good football for three games when he was in there at D-tackle and certainly played against the run well. Then he only played 13 snaps last week, and suddenly they couldn't stop the run again.
If you don't mind me cutting in just really quick.
And real quick, Fenton has had his moments. We'll see what Derwin Thompson is to this point. We've seen nothing from him. And Nick Allegretti has gotten on the field as an extra blocker, as a tight end, and then had a couple of snaps this past week. I know they're still optimistic about him, but you know that and we'll wait on Breland Speaks. Derek Nnadi played really well with Colin Saunders next to him. You know, the rest of that draft suspect, but look, does he get too excited and feel like he's got to have something? Yes, he moves up all the time in the draft. He moves for Sammy Watkins. He jumps at Frank Clark. Yes, guilty of all that. Those are his Achilles heels, and they have to get better.
Well, that's exactly where I'm getting at. Because my whole thought process is you're evaluating these tremendous players, and you're bringing in talent with the peanuts. So why aren't we trading away the little guys and going up maybe for something big, like a Devin Bush? And that's just me throwing out there just because he's going really well, and it was a good trade up, yakety-yak. But he has such a great strength at evaluating talent that he doesn't need to jump out there and just go pick up, you know, whatever somebody else's scraps are that they can't get to sign. He needs to hold his guns and go and get the best possible player for this best possible roster and roll with it and just do it.
And you're right. Absolutely, Scott. I got no disagreement, and I appreciate the call, buddy. What I would say that the thing that I would say to add on to that is, one, he does have a head coach who is the ultimate power in this organization in his ear. And so you do have to somewhat serve that master. And number two, you know, he's inexperienced as a GM. There's a difference between fighting for your guy, fighting for Patrick Mahomes as the lead scout, and being the guy that's going to have to wear it on all of them, all the picks, not just fighting for your one project, but having to measure what everybody else can do as well. It is a process.
It's the Jazz End of the Hour Question on the Half Shell. Sponsored by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.
Laissez le bon temps rouler.
All right, since overtime in the regular season began in 1974, how many Monday night games have ended in a tie? Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.